In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. Can you relate to this Father? Can you relate to what he was going through? Can you relate to crying out emotionally, full of tears? I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. For just think of the love that you have for your children, or your grandchildren, or nieces and nephews, or any child that you take care of. Because of your great love for that child, you would do anything to help them when they're sick or suffering, right? It's why you get up with them in the middle of the night when they're sick, lie on the floor next to their bed, clean up after them if they make a mess, or even readjust your schedule the next day so that you can spend the entire day with them. For if your child is sick or suffering, out of your great love for your child, you are willing to do absolutely anything for them. So place yourself in this Father's shoes. Your son, whom you love, whom you care for, whom you would do anything to help out, is dealing with demonic possession. And listen to what he was dealing with. The Father said, "My son has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. Wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid." A little later on, he said, "It has often thrown him into fire and into water to kill him." And he even added that he's been dealing with this from childhood. You see, Satan's not to be messed with. Oh, he promises such good things. He promises wonderful blessings. Just think of how he promised Adam and Eve in the garden, "You will be like God, knowing good and evil, if you just eat from this fruit." Think of how he promised Jesus, "I will give you authority over all the kingdoms of this world, if you just bow down and worship me." Think of how he promises you fame, or fortune, or popularity, if you just succumb to his temptation and sin. Satan promises such good things, but he's a liar. Whenever he shows his true colors, whenever he is allowed to do what he wants, all he does is bring pain and destruction, foaming at the mouth, tossing him to the ground, becoming rigid, grinding his teeth, throwing him into fire and water to kill him. That's Satan's true colors. And so I say again, place yourself into this Father's shoes. Your son, whom you love and whom you would do anything for to help him out, is dealing with demonic possession. And this demon is doing demon-like things to him. Can you imagine how emotional you would be? Can you imagine how helpless you would feel? Do you understand why this father cried out, "I do believe. Help me with my unbelief"? For that phrase, "I do believe, help me with my unbelief," it really encapsulates the life of a Christian, the life of someone who belongs to Christ and yet is living in this sinful world. For like this Father, as we are living in this sinful world, we know who Jesus is. We know the power he possesses. We know that he's risen from the dead, taking away all of death's power. We know that he has crushed Satan's head by his death and resurrection, rendering Satan's powers useless. As an example, just think about how he descended into hell after his resurrection to proclaim right to the devil's face that he had won a great victory, and the only thing the devil could do is just sit there and listen. And finally, we know that our Savior has ascended to sit at his Father's right hand, where he has all authority in heaven and on earth and is ruling over everything for the good of his holy church. That means he's ruling over everything for your good, for you are a member of the holy church. And so with everything that happens in this world, he is turning it into a blessing for you personally. You know all of that. It's why you cry out, "I do believe." But then? Well, then you look around you as you live in this sinful world. And what do you see? You see illnesses that are affecting you or your loved one, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better, but it's just getting worse and worse. Or you're staring at a loved one lying in a casket, dead far sooner than you ever expected. So can you really confidently declare that death has no power? Or you see Satan attacking you, tempting you, and causing you to fall into some grievous sins. You see the pain and destruction that Satan is bringing to your loved ones around you. So can we really say Satan's head had been crushed? Or we see struggles. We see natural disasters that destroy people's lives. We see crime that destroys people's lives. We see rage and anger, sadness and depression, anxiety and stress that simply destroy people's lives. So can we really say Christ is ruling over all for the good of his holy church? Do you see why sometimes we cry out, "Help me with my unbelief"? For as long as we are a saint and a sinner, as long as we are in Christ and yet living in this sinful world, as long as we are forgiven and washed in the blood of Christ and yet still have that nasty old sinful flesh, we are going to be crying out, "I do believe, help me with my unbelief." For you see, we have both an old man and a new man, and they are fighting against one another. The new man trusts in Christ. The new man always trusts in all the promises of Christ, especially in times of trouble. But that old man, he does not want to trust in God or his promises. He only wants to trust in himself or what he can see and understand with his mind. And those two people inside of you, that old man and that new man, are fighting against one another. It's why you cry out, "I do believe. Help me with my unbelief." And when you cry out that phrase, "I do believe, help me with my unbelief," what will your Savior do? He will do the same thing he did with this father in our text. He will appear to do something great. For listen again to what Jesus did after this father emotionally cried out full of tears, "I do believe, help me with my unbelief, because my son is dealing with demonic possession." When he cried out that phrase, Jesus acted. Jesus did not leave him alone. Jesus did not tell him, "Try harder to believe more." Jesus did not say, "As long as you are doing your best, a little unbelief is okay." No. Jesus acted. Listen to what Jesus did when this father cried out about his son, "I do believe, help me with my unbelief." We read, when Jesus saw that a crowd was gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit. "You mute and deaf spirit," he said, "I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit screamed, shook the boy violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many of them said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, raised him up, and he stood up. You see, this demon was extremely powerful. And he was intent on bringing destruction to this son and to his father. For the whole reason why this demon was inflicting such pain and destruction upon the son, it was also that this son and this father stopped trusting in Jesus, fell into the sin of unbelief, and therefore would have to suffer with him for all eternity in hell. Unbelief is always the goal of all of Satan's attacks. But even though this demon was powerful, all Jesus had to do was speak, and the demon left. And then all Jesus had to do was reach out his hand and pick up the child, and he stood up. And Jesus gave the child back to his father. And when the father received his child back, who was now free from demonic possession, no longer was he crying out, "I do believe, help me with my unbelief." For he had seen how much power Jesus possesses, power even over the devil and all his demons. So what did this father have to be afraid of? And when we are struggling, and we cry out, "I do believe, help me with my unbelief," Jesus will act for us. He will show us and proclaim to us how powerful he is, how much more powerful he is than Satan and his demons. So what do we have to be afraid of? And if you ever need proof of that, proof of how much power Jesus possesses over Satan and all his demons, just think about what happens at this font. For make no mistake about it, you were infected with a demon from childhood, just like this boy in our text. We call that original sin. The sin that you inherited from your parents. The sin that is passed down from generation to generation. And because of that sin, a demon is infecting us all. And that demon should be allowed to do whatever he wants with us. He should do with us what he is doing with that boy. But Jesus didn't want to see that happen to you. He didn't want to give that demon free rein in your life. And so at the font, no matter how old you were when you were taken to this font, Jesus spoke to the demon and told the demon to leave. And he left you. And then Jesus reached down into the water and pulled you up. And you received life. Life that will never end. And now when that demon tries to worm its way back into your life by bringing pain and destruction into your life, all in an effort to get you to become an unbeliever, for remember, that is always the goal of the demons. When that happens, through contrition and repentance, through law and gospel, through confessing your sins and hearing that you are forgiven, which is the fourth part of baptism in our catechism, Jesus is present, washing away your sins in his blood, making sure that that demon cannot harm you. Do you see how powerful Jesus is? And therefore, it does not matter if you or a loved one are staring death in the face right now. You're baptized into Jesus. And Jesus, the one who destroyed death by his resurrection from the grave, will make sure that death cannot harm you or your loved one, but that death is simply a passageway to eternal life. And it does not matter how Satan is attacking you right now. You have been baptized into Jesus. And Jesus, the one who crushed Satan's head, will make sure that all of Satan's attacks against you are powerless. And finally, it does not matter what struggles you or your children or your loved ones are facing. You are baptized into Jesus. And Jesus, the one who is sitting at his Father's right hand, is guiding and directing every small detail of your life for your good to be a blessing for you. That's God's promise to you. It's God's promise to your children. It's God's promise to all who are baptized into his holy name. For Jesus is more powerful than Satan. No matter what Satan and his demons are trying to do, Jesus is more powerful than Satan. And so, like this, Father, may we cry out for Jesus for help, especially when Satan is attacking us. May we cry out to Jesus for help. For when we are crying out to Jesus, focused on our Savior, as we talked about last week, well, then we don't cry out, "I do believe, help me with my unbelief." But with our eyes focused on our Savior, being baptized into his holy name, no matter what is going on in our life, we can boldly and confidently declare, "I do believe, because you have destroyed Satan, and you have overcome all my unbelief." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess the one true faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.